Log Talk Radio.
This is Talking Brick with Mayor John Ducey.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. It's 5:30 on July 22nd. The phones are open. If anyone wants to call in, ask any questions, share your thoughts, whatever the case may be, it's wide open. All lines are open. The call-in number is 347-426-3543. And as usual, I'd like to make a few announcements just to start the show off. The Brick Farmers Market is going on every single Saturday at Windward Beach from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And there's more and more produce coming each and every week. If you go to our Facebook page, every week we take pictures of the different produce, and the pictures are really outstanding, bright colors of peaches and corn and apples, all sorts of vegetables. Really, really great time. It's great to see all the community members out there, all the residents out there enjoying themselves. There's probably some people from surrounding towns who also come out just because there is so many vendors and so much food to be had. And it's, I mean, there's everything. Besides the fruit and the vegetables, there are breads. There is fresh mozzarella. There is stuffed pastas, stuffed breads, flowers. There's woodwork. There is candy from Japan. There's a yarn truck. There is smoothies. There's ice cream. There's shakes. Anything you can think of pretty much is out there at the farmer's market. So please take advantage of the situation every single Saturday, Windward Beach from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Summerfest continues tomorrow night. There's a concert by the Time Machine. It begins right around 6:30, and there's a little show from the radio show at the very beginning, and then the concert by the Time Machine, and then the whole concert is followed by fireworks. This was supposed to be our last concert of the season because, as everybody knows, we were doing them every Thursday in July, but the Bronx Wanderers from 2 weeks ago, they had to be rescheduled because of weather, and they are rescheduled for Wednesday, August 19th. So we have an extension of our Summerfest series. This Thursday, the Time Machine, and then Wednesday, August 19th, will be the Bronx Wanderers rainout show. At the Summerfest, of course, there's our food court. There's a lot of great choices. I had a great cheesesteak. There is Italian sausage sandwiches, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, hamburgers, shave ice, ice cream, and there's also our beer and wine garden for those of us who are over 21. And the beer and wine garden is much larger. It's much closer to the stage this year, and you're actually allowed to bring in kids. So if you have kids, obviously, who are not 21 yet, you can still bring them into the area. They don't get a wristband. They're obviously not allowed to partake in the wine or beer. But it does add to the family enjoyment. There's tables in there where you can sit down. You could get your food at the food court and then head on over to the beer garden for a drink while you're eating. And, of course, the fireworks are right after the concert. There's shuttle buses available as well as parking right at Windward. Once the parking lot's filled up at Windward, you have to go to the shuttle buses, which are available at Midstream School and Brick High School. And Drum Point Elementary as well. Sorry about that. I always forget where those shuttle buses are from. I get there early. That's why I have to be there by 6 o'clock. So when I get there at 6 o'clock, there's plenty of parking around. But last week when I got there, I left my house about 6 o'clock. Usually it's about a 5-10 minute ride. And there was so much traffic going in there last Thursday that it took me about 20 minutes to get in. But that just shows how popular the event is, and it's ever growing, so it's a really fun time. Next week, next Thursday, July 30th, is our annual car show. Last year's was huge. It was the biggest one ever for the town. From what I'm told, it's one of the top two biggest in the state. I don't know if that's true or not, but come out for a great night. It is really, really a lot of people, a lot of cars. And it is an enjoyable evening. Again, the beer and wine garden will be there, as well as the food court for that event. The following Thursday is August 4th, and it's National Night Out Against Crime and Kids Day. That starts at 6 o'clock p.m. There's all sorts of things for the kids. There's the police will be out there. There's Touch a Truck with our ambulance, with our fire departments will be out there. The kids can get into the truck. They can sit in the driver's seat, grab the steering wheel, and the police do a bunch of different demonstrations, including the K-9 officers. And then also starting August 7th, we have our Summerfest drive-in movies, and those are on Friday nights at Windward Beach. And this year, August 7th is Jurassic Park. August 14th is The Sandlot. August 21st is Back to the Future. And August 28th is Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I'd like to thank all the sponsors of our Summerfest, including Pine Belt Motors, Walmart, CME Engineers, and IMAC Insurance. Those are our main sponsors, and they really help us put together the fireworks show and have all the different concerts. I'd like to thank our July 31st, there's a movie in the park at Arrowhead Park featuring Garfield the movie. It's free to attend. That was rescheduled from last night because of the rain we had last night. So it's rescheduled to July 31st, and it's at Arrowhead Park, and it's Garfield the movie. I want everybody to know that registration for the Bricktoberfest 5K and Fun Run is now underway. The race is Saturday, October 3rd at Windward Beach Park. Pre-registration is $25 for the 5K and $10 for the one-mile fun run. It's $5 more the day of the race, so it's obviously to your advantage to pre-register. It helps us know how many people are definitely going to be racing, and it saves puts more money in your pocket because you have $5 more to spend later on in the day at the food trucks and rides. Just like last year, I'm going to be donating $5 to a local charity for every runner that crosses the finish line before me. So I'm going to have to start running to get in shape. I was in much better shape this time last year, but I can start running soon. Hopefully everybody's received their copy of Brick Pride. It's our official newsletter of Brick Township. We started Brick Pride as a way to inform citizens about what's happening at Town Hall and all around Brick. The reasons were actually at a senior advisory committee. A lot of the senior advisory committee is something that has been going on here for years. It's the mayor's senior advisory committee, and it's a representative of each of the senior associations in town, as well as a couple of at-large seniors for the populace in general. And basically, it's a give and take. I give them a lot of information about what's going on in town. They go back to their associations. They spread that news around. They also come in with questions. I try to get the answers within, you know, by the time the next meeting happens. But one thing we kept on finding is that they would ask me a question. I said, well, that's on our Facebook page, or yeah, there was a tweet about that. It was on Twitter. It was on our website. And the seniors were really, they kind of said, well, we don't have computers. We're not on the internet all the time. We don't have a Facebook account. And it really opened my eyes that there's the diminishing role of traditional news sources, such as newspapers. Everybody used to receive one newspaper in their mailbox every single week. It was only about Brick, and it really provided a lot of information. And then there was another newspaper that used to get delivered to people's driveways as well, Brick only. And again, that one is no longer being delivered to driveways. So we used to have the Asbury Park Press, the Ocean County Observer, the Brick Sampler, the Brick Town News, the Brick Communicator, the Brick Bulletin, and the Brick Times. Now the only papers left are the Asbury Park Press and the Brick Times. They're doing a great job, but they still just really aren't reaching everybody. And a lot of people aren't on the Facebook and the social media, so the website papers such as the Brick Patch and the Brick Shore Beat, they're just not on the internet, so people aren't able to read those as well. So we thought a newsletter mailed to every single home would be valuable for both us and the residents. We expect to do two newsletters a year, and we're going to be seeking sponsors to offset the costs from this point forward. With the first one, we didn't go out for sponsors because we didn't have a model of what it would look like. And now we have a great model. I've received many, many compliments here in the mayor's office by way of phone calls and emails saying thank you for providing this information to us. And the finished product is actually, just a great looking newspaper. And so we've already been contacted by somebody who wants to place an ad in the next edition. So the next edition probably will be coming out in the fall, and we're trying to get as many advertisers as we can to offset the costs. Last night, the council awarded the bid for the Angela Hibbert Park Improvement Project. It's going to be two playgrounds, the one for the little kids, the ages 2 to 5, and then one for the bigger kids, ages 6 to 12. There's going to be a basketball court there. There's going to be tennis and pickleball courts. And pickleball is it's a growing sport. A lot of people don't know what it is. When I talk about pickleball, they're saying, what the heck is that? It's a sport played by people of all ages. It's a mix of tennis and ping pong and badminton. It's played on a court with paddles and a wiffle ball or a perforated plastic ball. Very popular among older Americans. It's easy to learn and play by people of all athletic abilities. And the playground is also going to be ADA compliant. So all those things, the two dog parks, one for large dogs, one for small dogs, will be included. And it's just going to be a great park, and I can't. We finally awarded the bid, and I can't wait for construction to start. And I can't wait for construction to be completed so that all the kids in the neighborhood and all the adults in the neighborhood get to enjoy a brand new park. Doing parks really adds to the value of people's homes. I know when people are out looking for homes, a lot of times they're asking, where's the nearest park? Where's the nearest recreational facility? So this one right there, Angela Hibbert, is going to be great because not only is it for kids and adults, but it's also for dogs. So it's really going to be a special place in town and a gathering point to meet all your fellow residents. A couple different questions came in from Facebook. The first one is, Luigi wants to know if the town will ever reactivate the red light cameras. And the short answer to that one from me is not as long as I'm mayor, if the mayor has anything to do about it. The red light cameras, we did a lot of research on, and the red light cameras, they were supposedly put there for safety and to make our town safer. But when all the research was shown is that accidents actually increased after the cameras were installed. So there was a certain number of accidents, and all those stats I do have, but there was a certain number of accidents before the cameras were installed, and then after the cameras were installed, the accidents actually increased, sometimes tremendously. I know one of them was 400% more accidents after the cameras were installed. So really, it kind of turned out, and we got rid of the cameras in February, and then the entire state of New Jersey followed us in December. We were definitely the trendsetters ahead of the curve. We did our research first. I became mayor in January, and the cameras were out of here by February 18th. And then finally in December, 10 months later, the rest of the state caught up, and they realized, these cameras are here. It's like a money grab from people. And the rest of the state got rid of them as well in December. So, the town will not have them back because I'm mayor, and I don't think the state's going to have them back. Like I said, they got rid of them in December, and there's no talk about anybody bringing them back. So we're all happy about that. John and Linda, they want to know why the Board of Education is laying off bus drivers, hiring subs, and giving out raises. She believes that it's a bit confusing. I am with you, John and Linda. It is a bit confusing. I have no idea what's going on over there at the Board of Education. Just a quick little civic lesson, I guess, if you want to call it that, is the Board of Education is a separate entity. I have no control over the Board of Education at all. I know a lot of the kids, they always ask me, hey, are you going to cancel school tomorrow when it's snowing out? And I, constantly always have to tell them I don't make that call. I'm not even involved in that call. Nobody asks for my opinion. Board of Education, totally separate. They do have their own meetings, though, so I encourage you. The next one is Thursday. Tomorrow night there's one. Just check out their website as to the time and the place, because again, as a separate entity, I don't know that information. I do know there is one on Thursday because there was a newspaper article in today's Asbury Park Press about the Board of Education and the fact they can't agree on anything. That was in the press, and it said that the next meeting was Thursday. So I know it's tomorrow night. I don't know what time or where it is. So take a look at the Brick Board of Education website, and I'm sure that information is there. If it's not, I would call the Brick Board of Education tomorrow morning and find out. And, go there, and hopefully they'll give you some answers to some of your questions. And if they do, let me know, because, like you said, it's a bit confusing to everybody. Next up, Lillian. She asks why it's taking so long for businesses around town to remove graffiti. She's noticed the word race in bubble letters in several locations, and she thought they had 48 hours to remove it. Lillian, I have noticed the same, now that you mention it. They don't have 48 hours. It's actually supposed to be removed immediately, according to our ordinance here in town. And if they do not remove it immediately, the town has to go out there, and we have to write a violation, and then they get 60 days to remove it. So, I'm sorry, 90 days. 90 days to remove it. And so what we need you to do, and I know you've already done it because I saw some of the different places over by the Outback and the Luke Oil. I'm going to give that information to the code enforcement officers, and they'll go out and write those different violations. Now, one thing that I just want to – gives me an opportunity to speak about this. Our code enforcement, we are response-based. What that means is our code enforcement isn't out there patrolling like police officers do. So they're not driving around town looking for violations. There's so many different violations that are being called in that they really don't have the time to do that. So it's response-based. So if anybody out there sees any type of code enforcement violation, be it broken signs of businesses, long grass, weeds, you know, it could be as severe as gutters falling down or roofs falling off, or this graffiti issue, please call 732-262-1240, which is the mayor's office, to let us know where those things are, and we'll send the code enforcement officers out there. They go out there to make a determination, and they write what's called a violation. And it gives us, usually it gives us the homeowner a certain amount of time to repair whatever it is. And if they don't do it by that time, then they actually get a summons and they get dragged into municipal court. But if you don't let us know, we might not necessarily see it, including myself. The big thing is, for some reason, when you drive past something a lot, you kind of don't notice it anymore, which is unfortunate, but it just really happens. And so I might drive by the same graffiti over at the the Outback there, and just I see it one day. I don't remember to call it in. I don't remember to talk about it here in the town hall. And then you just drive past it. It just becomes part of the scenery, unfortunately. And so anybody who sees anything wrong out there, please call us. Please let us know. We'll get code enforcement out there right away to write the violation notice. Next, I have also from Facebook. It's really not a question. It's a comment from Mitzi, a compliment to the current administration. Thanks for the new parks, the farmer market, and trying to fill the empty storefronts. This person had almost given up on Brick. Well, thank you for not giving up on Brick. And lets me talk a little bit. I already talked about the farmer's market. And let's talk about the storefront revitalization program. And this will hopefully will help with the graffiti problem as well, because if the storefronts are filled, they probably won't have graffiti on them. Storefront revitalization program is something we are starting very shortly here in the month of August of 2015. And it's basically what we want to do is have people fill storefronts that already exist rather than build new construction, and have people fill storefronts that already exist instead of having their maybe a home business or maybe in a business in another town. And what it is, it has to be empty for at least a year. And if it is, what happens here is in Brick, we will waive all the permit and inspection fees. So if you want to open up a new business, you see a spot and you say, hey, I want to build a new building, I want to rip down some more trees, well, we're trying to give you incentive not to do that. Hey, how about filling up some of these empty storefronts? So if you take one of these empty storefronts, it's been empty for more than a year, we waive all the permanent inspection fees, which could be a tremendous savings to, especially when you're trying to start up a brand new business. You need all the money for advertising, for your merchandise, for stocking shelves and all that. So we want that money to be used by the business owner for its business rather than be given to the town. And the reason why we're doing that, it's obviously a trade-off. We like to have some income from the town, for the town. But having those empty storefronts are just a very, very important thing. We want those things filled. We have to have those empty storefronts filled. And we're the first town in the state to employ this strategy. And hopefully it's successful here. Hopefully we get our empty storefronts filled. And I bet you other towns around the state are going to probably implement the same program. Again, they're going to be following Brick Township just like the red light cameras. So thank you, Mitzi, for your kind comments, and it gave me a chance to talk about that storefront revitalization program. Moving on to also happened at last night's meeting. was the budget. The budget was adopted last night. The municipal portion is up 1.9 cents, and what that equates to is actually a $47 a year increase for the median home here in Brick, which it works out, and we can all do the math. It works out to less than $4 a month. The reason, we had a huge impact to our budget this year because of Sandy still, and a lot of people I know don't understand that, but this year, if we didn't, if we didn't make cuts in other areas, our taxes would have raised 5.62 cents just because of Sandy alone. Now, they're only going up 1.9, so I don't want to scare people with that other number, but that's what it would have gone up, 5.62 because of Sandy alone without all the other cuts that we made here in town and savings. One of those is the we saved over $700,000 in overtime last year. I'll get back to the budget in one moment because we do have a call. If anybody else would like to call, it is 347. Oops, I lost my 426-3543. We do have Robert on the line now. Hi, Robert. How are you doing tonight?
Okay, Mayor. How are you? First-time caller. 50 years old, 50-year resident.
Okay, great. Thank you for calling in.
I have a question on your ordinance. For landlords.
Yes.
Ordinance 615. I'm not sure if you guys have discussed this topic at all. I just wanted to get some more information on it, if I could, with you about how to proceed with that ordinance, because I have a neighbor that is completely out of control.
Okay. A lot of towns have something that's called an animal house ordinance. Ours is similar to that. Ours isn't called animal house ordinance. Ours is a responsible landlord ordinance. It's basically the same exact thing. But what it is a responsible landlord under the ordinance, and it's the same. And they have them in Belmar and Seaside Heights and Wildwood and most of the shore towns and also the college towns, such as West Long Branch and Oceanport, because of the college kids. It's basically a responsible landlord has some requirements. They can't have a tenant who's in their house committing crimes. If they do, basically everybody gets what you want to call a free bite at the apple. So the first time a tenant is convicted of a crime, the landlord gets notice of it, and they get noticed of it saying, "Hey, your tenant committed a crime, whatever it may be. It could be as serious as drug dealing. It could be as non-serious as overgrown grass." Once that conviction happens, the landlord gets notice of that. If it happens, and that gives the landlord a lot of power, because the landlord can now move to in Superior Court down at Ocean County before Judge Palmer to evict that tenant. Portion of the lease has a specific exclusion for any crimes, and it gives a reason for an eviction. And if they try, if they file the paperwork down in Ocean County and, the judge might evict them. If they don't, at least they filed. They tried to do what they're supposed to do. They tried to act like a responsible landlord. Now, if there's a second conviction of a crime in that same property, that landlord now gets brought in before our animal, our property, before a hearing officer, and the hearing officer now has a hearing with that landlord and whatever evidence that landlord might want to bring in, and the hearing officer can order that landlord to now post a bond so that any further criminal investigations that happen at that property, that landlord's paying for, not the town, not the taxpayers. They're paying that through that bond. So that's basically a summary of the ordinance. So I'm not sure if you had specific questions about it.
I do, actually. We've had the police officers out here. No exaggeration, probably close to 100 times. There's been two issues of summonses that I know of, one on my property for littering. I've had two assaults on myself from this individual. He was arrested about 2 weeks ago for, I'm not sure what complaint, maybe disorderly conduct, but there's been numerous complaints at the same household for this. What is my responsibility to pursue with this ordinance? Do I need to come down to the town hall and and file some paperwork, or is this an automatic thing?
Okay, who is the? Do you know who the landlord is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then what you need to do, if you can contact Town Hall, let us know the dates of the convictions for the various crimes, be it the littering, as simple as the littering, or the more serious, obviously, or the assaults, and if it fits within the time period after we pass the ordinance. We can move forward with bringing that landlord in. So we need
it
to know
does fit within the time frame of the ordinance because it's happened within the last couple of weeks. The problem is I've tried to get the reports, and they tell me I need a lawyer to get the reports for any kind of report that's whether it be a noise ordinance or something else that's gone to this individual's house. And it's not normally noise. It's probably drinking in public, disorderly conduct, but I'm not able to get those reports unless it's actually involving me.
Okay.
They told me to get a lawyer.
Give me a favor.
It would be
easier
for me to get a lawyer.
Call tomorrow. Give us the address, and we could do back channels and try to figure out what the date of convictions are. And at the date of convictions, like you said, if they're within the past couple of weeks, that's obviously after we pass the ordinance. We have two convictions, and then that's this could be our first case before our hearing officer, which would be great. So
you're telling
me
this might be your first animal case, animal house case?
I'm sorry?
Is that correct?
What was that?
This might be your first animal house case?
Yeah, responsible landlord. Responsible. We go after the landlords. Yes. It's about.
Okay. Well, I need a name and a number to call and talk to people that actually know what, how to pursue this. Because I'm not getting that when I call the town hall, and I called them today. I called them last week. I'm kind of getting the runaround.
I'm not sure who you're calling, but just call my office.
I called code enforcement. I called the police department. I've been down to the detective bureau. So I just need an actual number and a name to call.
Did you get the number? I just gave you the number. Did you hear it? Or?
No, I did not. I'm sorry.
732-262-1240.
1240. And a name?
Yep. That's me. That's my number. That's the mayor's office.
Okay.
We'll get right
Thank
on
very
it.
Very much. I appreciate that.
It's not involving me
personally. It's our whole community, and I don't want to give you a name or community or whatever. But when I call tomorrow, I will. But it's just not. It's just not actually me versus him. It's our whole little community here has a problem with one individual.
That's fine. What we don't want. Thank you very much for the call. What we're trying to avoid is to have landlords who are not taking care of their properties, meaning they're just renting to anybody. They don't care who they rent and rent to, and they're basically just taking a check if it's a Section 8 check, or they're taking a check directly from
the
renter.
That's exactly what it is, a Section 8 check, and then that's exactly. And I've called the landlord. I've tried to handle this without calling Town Hall. I've tried to handle this without calling the police department. Nothing's working.
Yep, that's what we passed it for. So thank you very much for the call,
okay.
And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, John, he's on Facebook. He wants to know about charging non-residents to use our parks. We are allowed to do that, but the problem is we can't just charge non-residents to use our parks. We have to charge everybody. Now, what we can do is we can charge up to double for non-residents. But if we're charging our residents, brick residents, zero, double of zero is still zero, even though it seems like it should be more. But zero times two equals zero. But if we were to charge, let's say, $10 for residents, we could charge $20 for non-residents. But the problem is I don't think anybody should have to pay for our parks because you already kind of paid through – you already definitely paid through your taxes. If you're a renter, you paid through your landlord, and your landlord paid the taxes. Our parks should be free. Unfortunately, it would be great to be able to charge out-of-towners because obviously they put no money at all into our parks, but yet they're out there, they're using our facilities, they're using our picnic tables, they're using our slides and playgrounds and teeter-totters and climbing things and all that, and they don't live here, they didn't pay anything towards it as opposed to everybody who lives here, and we paid a lot of taxes for these parks. The parks are not cheap. They're usually a little bit over $1 million each to renovate. Unfortunately, the state law is if you do charge you can charge double for non-residents, but that means you have to charge something, because zero times double is still zero. And that's what we're stuck with, is a state law. So unfortunately, we are unable to accommodate you, although it was a great idea and it was a great question. Thank you for bringing it up. Just going back to the budget real briefly, I just wanted to point out, I know I did say if it was just Sandy alone without cuts, we would have had a tax increase of 5.62. Luckily, we did some cuts, and we got it down to a 1.9. It's $47 for the median household, less than $4 a month for the median household. And I just want to do a little bit quick comparison. I've been either on council for 2 years and now mayor for 2 years, so I've been part of four budgets. During that time, the tax levy has increased $2.3 million, which is about $570,000 a year. But the 4 years prior to that, prior to me being luckily elected in 2011, the tax levy increased $25,564,000, which is $6 million a year. So you can compare 4 years before I was on council and mayor, $25 million to the $2.3 million. And which equates, again, before I was here on council, $6 million a year, and now it's been about $570,000 a year. So we're doing the best we can. We're making a lot of cuts. We saved $700,000 in overtime, and our budget this year is definitely within the governor's 2% cap, which is something that I said I was committed to and I would definitely do every single year that I was on council or as your mayor. So we're keeping up with that tradition. And keeping any increase, unfortunately, there has to be one, but we're keeping it as low as we possibly can, and just still trying to make life better here in Brick by improving our parks, paving as many roads as we can, having fun activities like Summerfest and Bricktoberfest, and the movies in the park. So, it's a balancing budget and it's a balancing act, and hopefully I'm doing a good job. So, thank you everybody for listening again tonight, and I'll talk to you next time on Talking Brick.